Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
You get a life sentence, and then that gets commuted to 20 years because you actually start to, you teach yourself how to read, I believe, in jail. Study the law library. And so and then they actually, I believe Snowfall is loosely based on your life story.
Not loosely. We're not doing that. Straight theft. I'll say it for you. Straight theft.
So, all right. Can you just give us the story? Like, as far as I gave the quick synopsis, but give us the story as far as like how you originally found out about the Iran-Contra scandal and how it all tied in to what you was doing in South Central LA.
Well, I didn't find out about that until I was going to trial. You know, I was arrested for trafficking and possession of cocaine. They took me to trial. Once I got to trial, my old supplier was my informant. He's the guy that set me up to be arrested. While we was getting ready for trial, we got a call from this reporter who said that he had information on our informant and the government, and that he didn't think that they would be taking me to trial on the case because he said that my informant had too much baggage. But to go back a little further than that, let's kind of like take them to the beginning. I started in the cocaine business with $125. I was a high school dropout. Was hoping to get out the ghetto by playing tennis. When it was discovered that I couldn't read or write, all the scholarship opportunities that was afforded to me was no longer there for me. I found myself back in the neighborhood where I grew up at with nothing to do, didn't know what my next move was going to be. One of my friends who was a football player, All-American football player, came home from college one day and he had cocaine. He introduced me to cocaine for the first time, and I started from there. Like I said, I started with $125. Before I got arrested, I'd had days, not every day, but I'd had a couple days that I made as much as $3 million, $3.2 million in one day. By the time I was 28, I got arrested, got a life sentence without the possibility of parole, found out that the government had made an error in my case, and I won my case. While we was in trial, though, Gary Webb had started to assist us in my case. He was kind of like my investigator, and he had told us that it was things that the government wasn't going to want to let out, but somehow they slipped and put the guy on the witness stand, and he started talking about fishing trips with George Bush, and he said that the means justified, that the ends justified the means, and it just started a whirlwind after that. I mean, all of the news people started coming down to my cell interviewing me, and, you know, Montel Williams came down, Maxine Waters. I mean, it got really crazy.
At your peak, you said you were making up to $3.2 million a day. What business lessons could you extrapolate for our audience that they could apply to their business to help you kind of make that fortune?
Well, you know, I believe one of the key things that I use in my business practice is that I believe everybody is important.
That's a great lesson. Tell me more.
Well, you know, when you treat people a certain way, they don't have a problem with helping you. They don't have a problem with working with you. You know, so often we run into people and they have a sense of somebody that they don't feel is on their level. They snob their nose at them. And what I found out is that the people sometimes on the lower end is the people with all the ideas.
Mm.
So you said something as far as when the guy took the stand at your trial and he said the ends justify the means, right? And so what he's referring to is that the CIA thought that it would be a good idea to import cocaine from Nicaragua to support the rebels because they were fighting against communism, right? So that at that time, that was like the big thing was like, we can't have communists take over Central America because that's too close to America. And then how Iran fits in this is the shore of Iran. And Iran was another enemy of the United States, and they wanted to kind of overthrow leadership in Iran. So they support that uprising as well, right? So it's like a triangle in a sense.
They had the hostages too. Remember, they took over. They took those hostages, I think, at the Olympics.
Yeah,
they took quite a few American hostages, and one of the ways for Ronald Reagan to get into the presidency was by getting those hostages back.
So how do you feel? Because Ronald Reagan also was the person that really stamped "Say no to drugs, just say no," stuff like that. Like, how do you, what's your personal take on it being on the inside when a government is pushing an anti-drug agenda, but then also secretly they're the ones that's actually fueling a crack epidemic in black neighborhoods, and then it spreads out across America?
Well, you know, one of the things we say is that Nancy Reagan said, just say no, and Ronald Reagan said, act like you don't know. So they were hypocrites, for sure. And, I mean, we could see how hypocritical they are. By the way, they're now fighting fentanyl and these other drugs that are affecting the country right now, because really there's white people that's doing these drugs. So now they're talking about treatment instead of mass incarceration.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, it really served two purposes. One, they got the money that they needed to fight the war. And then the other one, they got to lock up a bunch of black men. I think at one time it was like 600,000 black men in prison for selling cocaine.
Wow. Do you think we have the same kind of crisis going on today? I live in Texas. There's a huge border issue. I don't want to touch too much on the cartels and what's happening in Texas and Arizona. But do you think that there's could be some of the similar things that you saw during your time going on now with the fentanyl being brought into the United States?
Oh, for sure. For sure. But one thing that if we haven't learned anything over the 50 years of this drug war is that you can't fight a drug. You know, it's really a war against the people. There's no way that we'll be able to stop drugs from coming into this country. When I got to my maximum security penitentiary, I was in the hole and a guy OD'd inside the hole. And that's a place where you have no contact with no other inmates. Only contact you have is with police. So if a guy is able to OD inside of the hole and they can't keep drugs out of their maximum security penitentiaries, there's no way that they're going to be able to keep it out of the country.
How did you first get in contact with your connect? Because like you said, you started, you playing tennis and you start very small, but then you scale very quickly. So how did that introduction happen with the connect?
Well, my first introduction was through a teacher.
Wait, what?
Yeah, through a teacher.
Okay.
Like a teacher in your high school or?
No, it was like a trade school. That I was going to after high school. Cause you know, after I found out I wasn't gonna be playing tennis, I still wanted to be successful. I mean, I wanted to be successful all my life, ever since I could remember. When I found out that money would keep the lights on and fix the windows in my mama's house, and keep food on the table, I wanted to be successful. So as young as I can remember, maybe 8 or 9 years old, I've been trying to make money.
As your time as a kingpin, like what were some of the most significant challenges you faced and how did you overcome them?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems that drug dealers have is what to do with the money, you know, how to legitimize their money, how to get the money where the money start to work for you instead of you working for the money. Yeah. Those are one of the most important things. In the drug business, I learned how to do that. You know, I could go buy a kilo for, let's say, $25,000, and I could literally loan it to another guy who didn't have any money for $35,000.
Mm.
But when it got time to do that legally, I didn't have the knowledge to do that. Mm. At first, I started to learn over time, but it
took time.
A lot of money. It cost me a lot of money to learn that.
So,
and, when you're and also, what I would say about legal business is they're bigger crooks than the guys on the street. You know, a lot of times the guys on the street, they'll be straight up with you because they know that if they don't do right, they could get killed. But in legal business, they don't really have that same concerns.
So you taught yourself how to read in jail, and that actually helped overturn your life sentence, right? How did you teach yourself how to read?
Well, actually, my cellie did.
Okay.
He made me some cue cards with my ABCs on them, and he started to teach me the sounds of ABCs. And you know, when I thought about it, too, you know, because I used to think I was too dumb to read, you know, that, you know, maybe I had a problem where I just wouldn't be able to learn how to read. And I accepted that as a fact. But what I found out is when I was in prison, that was the first time I ever really wanted to read. Mm. You know, when they gave me my indictment, I really wanted to know what that indictment said. So I think one of my problems was when I was growing up is that I wasn't really interested in what they were telling me at school. You know, I was more interested in how could I make some money. I think if they'd have been teaching me in different type of books, you know, telling me that, hey, if you read this book here, this book is going to tell you how to get some money, I would have read those books.
Yeah, I say that all the time. It's like it's not so much that kids don't want to learn it. They're not interested in what they're being taught.
Yeah.
And as a result that. But I'm just curious to know how you were able to rise to the level of prominence in the underworld being illiterate. Like, there was never a situation where you had to read, or how was you able to navigate? Because you was dealing with, you know, very high level connects and stuff like that. How were you able to get so successful being illiterate?
Well, you don't really need to read when you sell cocaine. You know, you got to learn how to work a scale, which I did. You know, I never worked a scale before. But what I found out is that the people who were already using drugs, they really wanted me to learn certain things, and they taught me. You know, they taught me what a gram was, what a tenth of a gram was, what an ounce was, what a kilo, what a half an ounce was, what a seventh was. So I learned those things from people on the street who already had that knowledge. And what I found out is that they really took the time out. A lot of times, you know, with these schools, the teachers are not really that interested in the kids learning. Mm. They're more interested in getting their check on Friday and getting to the party on Saturday.
Shout out to the teachers out there. We love y'all.
And I'm not saying that to down teachers, because I think teachers are underpaid.
Absolutely.
I think that they should be paid. They handle our most valuable assets, which are our kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't scale to your level of prominence without team building. So, like, I hear that you paid your guys really well. Can you talk to us about, like, how you built a team? How well you paid? How were you able to keep friction out of your team? Because we see a lot of, you know, we got the Kendrick Cole, Drake beef going, a lot of infighting in the rap industry and business in general. How do you keep your team together? And then what's the pay structure like to keep them incentivized to stay loyal to you?
Well, first of all, you know, I always try to find people who are closely related to me, whose situations are like mine, because I feel like if your situation is close to mine, then you should want the same things that I want. You know, you should want yourself to be successful. You know, you should want to get out of the ghetto. You should want to have a safe place for your kids to play at. You should want to have food that you can eat whenever you want to. You know, one of the things that my tennis coach used to tell me, he said that if you have to wait to Thanksgiving to eat turkey, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be waiting to Thanksgiving if I want to eat turkey and dressing. You know, I want to go whenever I get ready and eat whatever I want to eat. I want to live where I want to live. And I look for people that are looking for the same things.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.